back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders podcast, the comic book club. Apparently not the only comic book club, because I found another podcast called Comic Book Club. It's not bad.
We never claimed exclusivity of the comic book club.
We said the comic book club. We're just a comic book club now.
I would say that we weren't saying that we were the as in not definitive, but like we are the comic book club that does this.
Yeah, sure. We read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
Although we could be the comic book club if we just fight them in hand-to-hand combat.
Right. Earn the title.
Do you know what they look like? I think we could take them.
They sound like older gentlemen.
Okay, let's fight them because Twitter beef is good for the numbers.
Absolutely. Nathan, might I say you are looking beautiful today.
Thank you, Daniel.
No problem.
You are too. I like your MTV shirt, whatever that stands for.
Thanks, man. Yeah, something before your time.
Yeah. How are you doing this week, Daniel?
Today feels like Friday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always look forward to Pod Day. On top of that, it's new comic book day.
Yeah.
And
had a huge week this week, but we'll get into that in a different segment called the poll list.
I thought I was going to have a tiny ass list.
Me too. I had no idea what
I was. And then I walked in. I'm like, what the fuck?
I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
I didn't even pick up everything I wanted to. That JRJR book, didn't even pick it up.
Nah, I can't justify the $6.
$6 for it. And he looks like his leg's broken on the cover.
Yeah, I know.
But I wanted him to sign it because he's going to be at our Comic Con.
I'm not going to buy something just for him to sign it. It probably will be worth money, but
still. It'll probably be a line too. Like by the time I get the signature, I just wouldn't feel good.
I don't know, dude. Is he that big?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
The Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo, and the inker line was really long.
Yeah,
Jonathan Glapion, yes. But I don't know, it's just like one artist. You know, normally it's like a couple people
One good artist. One very, very good legendary artist.
Well known.
That has worked with many, many a great people.
Many a talent.
Including Scott Snyder.
Nathan, you mentioned...
And Frank Miller.
You mentioned... The poll list, that is one of our segments. What are some of the other segments we have?
We have the news. We have the book that we're talking about this week, which is Doctor Strange, because there's a Doctor Strange movie coming out pretty soon.
Yeah, maybe at some point. I don't know.
So we wanted to read some Doctor Strange. I've never read a Doctor Strange solo book at all, so it was very interesting.
Yeah.
And then we have the Back Matter Matters section, where we talk about the back matter, and then the poll list, where we talk about the comics that we picked up this week, the comics that we read this week, which are very different things.
Yeah.
There are people that buy comic books, and then there are people that read their comic books. And we do one or the other. And then we talk about some of the shows and movies that we've been watching. So,
Nathan, how do we find these segments?
You can find those segments in the time codes section that probably pops up in the description. I'm pretty sure it's there. Just to go look for it.
I don't know.
Also, under those time codes are typically our socials. So you don't have to wait till the end to figure out what our Twitter is. You could just look in the description, so feel free to follow us. Give us a 5-star, too.
Or since you're listening to the whole episode in its entirety, you can just wait till the end and get all our socials.
Yeah, true.
Follow.
So let's go to the news.
Nathan, big news. Okay. Today news.
Today news.
There is a Harley Quinn spinoff show. For Kite Man.
Yep. Ordered to be on HBO Max.
That's going to be so fucking cool.
That's going to be
so
awesome.
I'm so stoked for it.
I want like Tom King, because it's supposed to be like Kite Man in like a bar, basically. I don't know. Like there's
nice.
There's going to be a Gotham dive bar that's going to be like a prominent setting. Yeah, that villains go to. And I just want Tom King to just like be in the background with Mitch, you know. I think that should be cool.
Yeah,
or no, with Mikkel, Janine.
Yeah. Because
Mitch wasn't really on as Batman. But yeah, that's exciting. I like his character in
the
Harley Quinn show.
Have you watched that?
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you should watch. I haven't watched the newest season, but me and Sophia watched 1 and 2.
Oh, nice.
Or maybe we watched just 1 and haven't finished 2. Whatever the newest season is, I haven't finished it yet. But
I think newest one's 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the next one is 4, where Batman doesn't eat pussy. Daniel.
Yes.
Unfortunate news.
Ah.
Speaking of comic book animated adaptations, the one for Bone has reportedly been canceled by Netflix.
That is ridiculous.
Yes.
You think that's going to help?
Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah, let's stop
making
content.
If you want people to sign up,
that's how that
works. Make a Bone fucking animated series.
I hope it gets picked up by somebody else because it's a great idea.
You know how many people have read Bone?
If we weren't busy next week, I would say we read Bone in protest.
Exactly.
It's not nearly as important as other protests, but us getting just being mad
it's
at Netflix.
It's important for us, you know? We can pick and choose.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's super unfortunate.
Maybe
hopefully,
next week.
Because hopefully it gets picked up by another platform, but I think Netflix was not the first to try and make a animated adaptation of Bone. Like, I don't think it would be hard, you know?
Yeah, no.
Like, he's like, not the most, like, detailed character.
Yeah, he's
just simple for fun, and he looks aesthetically incredible, and that world is so fresh and fun.
Yeah.
You should read it soon. Next 10 episodes, we'll get to it.
I say next week.
Next week, I'm totally cool.
Because it's a fresh topic, you know?
Fresh topic, yes.
You got to jump on it.
Daniel, we just read The Magic Order, and we know about The Magic Order 2, but The Magic Order 3 is coming this July from Image Comics.
All right.
That's pretty cool.
Nathan.
Yes.
Across the Spider-Verse has been delayed to June 2023.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah. Did you see that tweet that somebody made who apparently saw the first 15 minutes of it?
No.
Okay.
What'd they say?
I mean, there's spoilers, so I guess if you don't want to know anything about that movie, then just, like, mute for, like, the next 10 seconds starting now.
Okay.
But there is Spider-Man 2099 in it. There's Spider-Woman, but the version where she's pregnant.
Okay.
And then there's one other Spider-Man that I'm forgetting the name of. So they're getting all the Spider-Men involved.
Okay, spoiler, Silk, maybe? Spoilers over.
Spoilers
yeah,
over.
I heard that there was going to be something like 250 characters in it in like six different universes that they're fucking with.
Yeah.
And then they already announced a third movie that's going to be called Beyond the Spider-Verse.
I think there was supposed to be like a Spider-Women one that they were making too, right?
I haven't heard of it, but seems like a good idea.
Yeah, maybe that was like very early on. Daniel, we continue the saga of the Predator comic.
Oh, let's hear it.
The Ed Brisson one that was supposed to come out like a year ago, almost today, is now set to come out July 6th this year.
Nice.
So after over a year-long delay, that's now coming out. And the delay was because of some rights thing with like some of the original producers or something. I can't remember. But it's coming out. So that's cool.
And speaking of July...
Yeah,
this is a news I just happened to like look this up and I found out when it comes out, but the entire Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman run of Venom comes out
in holy
an,
shit
in a Venom Venombius Venom
Venombius
I practice this.
it doesn't seem like it.
I'm Venomibus
Venomibus Omnibus. So
Venomnibus. You got it.
I can't wait for the Venomnibus.
Yeah. And so
that's a sick name.
It's like 1400 pages and like $150 and looks fucking sick. Or $125.
I assume it would include like Absolute Carnage and King in Black.
Yeah.
So that's like almost over 40 issues.
Well, isn't Absolute Carnage like within the Venom run?
No. It was like its own event, kind of like King in Black was.
Okay.
It was supposed to be, both of those story arcs were supposed to be just in like the Venom book.
Yeah.
But Marvel editorial liked it so much that they made it its own, they made both of them their own like comics event.
For sure. Okay.
Which
yeah.
speaks I to d- how cool they were.
And speaking of Venom, Nathan, Venom 3 is in the works.
Oh, amazing.
Let's
speaking
go.
Speaking of Sony Pictures, Daniel.
Nathan, what symbiote can they use now?
Anti-Venom. Actually,
that'd
I don't know.
That'd be cool.
Because I haven't seen... There's actually a lot of like symbiotes that they could use that they probably haven't far.
They could use toxin.
Yeah, toxin.
They could use, I think there's one called Cancer, apparently.
Yeah, I think so. And then
a
there's
little
one
problematic
called,
name.
There's one called Sagittarius as well.
Is it really?
No, I'm just kidding. Because Cancer is one of the...
Oh.
Yeah.
And then we got Leo. But
speaking of Sony Pictures, that everybody
watch
wants,
it.
Daniel.
Uh-huh.
Bad Bunny will portray Marvel's first Latino lead in Sony's El Muerto. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, have you heard about El Muerto?
Yes, he's had a total of two comic book appearances.
It's kind of like Harrow, dude.
Yeah, it is, which is crazy.
This was a dumb idea.
No one wants this.
Like, Mexican movies, superhero movies, I'm all about, but like, why El Muerto?
Yeah.
Just do Miles Morales or something.
Yeah.
Is this like, the only thing that Bad Bunny was like fit for? Is that what they were trying to go for?
What made them think Bad Bunny too? Like, I don't, has he acted?
He's going to be in that new Brad Pitt movie called Bullet Train, and he's like an assassin.
Oh, cool.
He looks good in it. Okay. I didn't know it was him until someone pointed it out to me. But yeah, and so that's all, also a Sony movie. So yeah. They just love Bad Bunny, and they think, oh, this will sell because it's a Bad Bunny movie.
Yeah, everybody loves him. He tickets, is very popular.
His tickets go for like $1,200 or something.
Fucking insane.
They go for like 2 mortgage payments.
I had no idea. But yeah, that's interesting, and I don't know why they do that, but a whale.
Nathan.
Yes.
Speaking of...
Just say the news. You don't have
superheroes.
To... Nice.
The Batman 2 has been confirmed.
Yeah. I figured it was, like, right from the get-go, you know?
Yeah.
But now it's, like, confirmed, so that's cool.
Yeah, and, you know, Robert Pattinson and Matt Reeves back for that. Mm-hmm, who's going to be the villain, Nathan? Tell me. Who do you think they'll use? Not who you want.
Joker.
Okay.
I want two, like, yeah, this so last
say,
one.
Let's say two. What two are going to be in there?
What I want is different from what I think they'll go with, but what I think they'll go with is maybe like a Scarecrow, because that's easy to fit in this universe.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I think they'd want to stray away from everything that was in the Nolan trilogy, but then they're going with Joker, but it's kind of hard to avoid Joker.
Right, so I feel like Scarecrow is kind of like the B level that they were went with.
Yeah, so going outside of that, maybe like a Zsasz would be cool, but like Zsasz already exists in like the DCEU, whatever that means, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe another crime boss, like a Black Mask, but then same thing. So
I don't want another crime boss.
Yeah. So it's kind of tough.
I don't think I actually know very many Batman villains now that I think about it. Like the ones that would maybe work Bloom in this.
Yeah. The Bloom. Ones that I think would be cool to see would be Mr. Freeze in some capacity.
You know what I think, Nathan? I think they could probably pull off Court of Owls.
That'd be great, yeah.
And I would love that shit.
No, yeah, that feels pretty natural, yeah. Yeah, that would be very cool.
Yeah, organized. It's just more organized crime.
Mm-hmm.
But they got masks now.
Love that. Here's something pretty cool. We were actually talking a little bit about Zoop before the podcast. They're like a new comics fundraising thing. They're like a fundraising platform for comics. Technically, this is last week news, but I forgot to bring it up last week. But it's still going on to fund right now. But have you heard of Comics for Ukraine? So that's a huge anthology collaboration that Zoop is putting on. It's called Comics for Ukraine that you can fund. It's already been fully funded, but
you can fund past
by
it.
Like almost 4 times what its original goal was, which is sick.
Nice.
But there's going to be tons and tons and tons of really cool collaborations. One of the ones I'm most excited for includes John Layman and Rob Guillory coming back for another Chew story.
Oh my God, Nathan.
Chew Chew.
So how much is it to pledge?
To pledge, it is a measly... well, there's a bunch of different ones. I think the cheapest one that you can get is like $35.
That's a small price to pay for more Chew.
It is, but the one that they're pushing is the hardcover, which has an Alex Ross cover, which is sick, for $60.
That's cool.
Or $100 to have the hardcover signed by Alex Ross, or $175 to have all of the creators that are a part of the book sign the hardcover.
It's fucking nuts.
Yeah. So it's a really, really cool thing. There's all sorts of cool collaborations going on there, too. And obviously, all proceeds go to Ukraine, which is great.
Nice. When it comes to things where, like, a lot of people are signing a thing, if their signatures aren't recognizable, then it's like, who scribbled all of your book?
Yeah.
My fucking kids got to it. I don't know,
because there's a lot. And, like...
Is there any other creators that, like...
Yes, Kurt Busiek and nice. Brent Anderson doing an Astro City book.
Oh, yes.
Walter Simonson, Daniel, doing his own exclusive short story there. Nice. Howard Chaykin is going to be on there. A Usagi Yojimbo story from Stan Sakai.
Wow.
I just read a book from his. Pretty cool. Matt Wagner doing a Grendel story.
Okay.
We have...
Is Matt Wagner... Did he create Grendel?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Wrote and drew it.
Oh.
Yeah. Dave Gibbons is going to be doing his own exclusive story.
I love Dave Gibbons.
Luis Simonson, Mark Waid and Gabriel Rodriguez are doing a short story. All sorts of people.
I have to like picture how those names are spelled because I'm just so used to like seeing them and not reading, like hearing them, you know? Like, you said Mark Waid. I'm like, do I know Mark Waid? But I'm just like...
You do know Mark Waid.
I have to remember it printed on a book. I'm like, oh, yeah, Kingdom Come and shit.
Yeah. There's also a sick Bill Sienkiewicz cover, so that's nice. Cool, too. I like that. But anyway, I think people should get that if you want it. Yeah, if you can get it.
Everyone pledge.
It would be very cool.
Good cause.
That's all the news I have, I believe.
All right, yeah, same. Or I heard a thing that there was, like, a trailer for Flash, and apparently, like, Michael Shannon is in it because he's General Zod in that universe.
Mm.
So.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like Michael Shannon doesn't want to be a part of it. He's never said that explicitly, but I
feel like
he
didn't want to be in the first one.
Yeah, like.
He just looks so angry.
Him in Man of Steel, he does look very angry, but it's not like acting. I think that's just him being angry at punching, I don't know.
He just hates being in that,
like, looking
in that
at
suit.
A green screen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah, that's all the news. So let's get into the book that we read this week, Daniel. All
right, Nathan. We got Doctor Strange here called...
The Way of the Weird.
The Way of the Weird, Volume 1.
It's by Jason Aaron, Chris Bachalo, 1.5 million inkers.
A lot of inkers.
And then Chris Bachalo was a penciler and colorist. We had a bunch of inkers. And then there's sort of like backup stories that kind of play like a little bit of a part. That's written by Jason Aaron, drawn and colored by Kevin Nolan. So that's pretty cool. Letterer, Corey Petit. So yeah, that's the...
Noted.
How would you say it?
Petit?
Petit? No, I think that's spelled differently, isn't it?
Yeah, there's like an
English.
E, I think.
Yeah, so yeah. What would you think? What did you think as your first Doctor Strange story?
You know how you don't really like magic in comics?
Yeah.
Yeah, same now.
Yeah,
I think I just feel the same way now. I don't know if I've read something with magic in it. I'm like, oh yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I don't know. This one specifically, it's Jason Aaron for sure. And I was trying to think of that, thinking about like the Thor run.
Mm-hmm.
It's like great comics, but it's like dense. You know, there's a lot to it.
Yeah,
this one, I don't know. It kind of felt like a chore in a way. Because I just kept getting really, like, it was hard for me to focus on it.
Okay.
And, like, I finished it, like, today, and I tried reading it, like, 3 days in a row, and I just finished it today because it was podcast day.
Yeah.
It was like, there's some parts where, like, Doctor Strange was being, like, a little dramatic. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm like, come on. Like, he's like, don't look at anything or your eyes will melt out of your skull.
Okay.
And then there's another part where, like, if you do this, like... You'll unleash hell on earth and stuff like that.
But that's just like magic things. It's like, don't touch anything or else the whole universe will fold in on itself.
I wrote down a couple more.
Okay.
So there's some artifacts in this room or whatever. And he's like, these will end all life on earth as we know it.
And that's just like sitting in his room somewhere.
Yeah. And then here's another one. There's like an axe in like issue 3 or something.
Yep.
He found it in the center of the moon. You found it? What do you mean? You're just wandering about this.
You don't
want to
just
moon?
Like hang around the moon?
Yeah.
You've never wanted to do that? Because
yeah,
he
I
has the capacity to do that.
But he went in the moon and he just found an axe.
I don't think the axe was the only thing in the center of the moon. Maybe he was there for an ulterior reason.
Is there just a fucking pawn shop in the middle of the moon?
I don't know. I've never been there. Have you?
You sure have. No, very last week. Yeah. And so just like things like that, I'm like, okay, we get it. Bad things can happen. You know what I mean?
I think that I did not get bothered by that whatsoever. I think that's part of the stuff that makes it fun.
Sure.
Especially with like a Sorcerer Supreme who like is always dealing with shit that like most other people can't even imagine. You know, that's the part that I like. I think he does that part really well.
Yeah.
And I think he does a good job of demonstrating things like the astral plane, which have been pretty abstract concepts up to this point for me at least.
Yeah.
And I think he does a really good job with that. And I like this characterization of Doctor Strange a lot. And I really did like the magic portion a little bit up until like the last issue.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, oh, everything's good now. As magic stories tend to go.
Yeah.
Because what I liked about this is that it seems like he is educated on like these things that he's seeing. And he's like, oh, I know about these mind maggots.
Yeah.
You know, and then, or like he doesn't know about them at first for that particular example. And then he has to like read up on it and he's like, okay, now I know how to deal with them.
Right.
So like, it feels like I don't mind magic as long as there's like rules. And that's why I like Saga, you know, because it feels like there are rules. Like there's
You can't do much.
You can't. Yeah, it doesn't fucking fix everything, and is very particular and specific to, depending on like the species and like what materials you need as part of like the magic recipe or whatever. And I think that Jason Aaron includes part of that in this magic because he introduces the concept of there being a cost to spells, which I think is a kind of a cool concept.
Yeah, I like that too.
So I think that also the style of Chris Pachalo is unmatched by anybody.
Oh, yeah. I loved looking at this.
He's unbelievable. This book is a treasure to look at for sure.
It is a lot of fun.
He's really good with Spider-Man too. I don't know if you've read any Chris Pachalo Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's probably sick.
Yeah, it's so, so good. So he brings a lot of that energy into this book as well, which makes it a lot of fun.
He's got like a style that's like recognizable, which I always appreciate.
Yeah,
I like that too. That was really fun to look at.
I always try to follow Chris Pachalo wherever he goes.
Speaking of like magic and stuff, in like Supernatural, there's always like a way to fix the day, and they just like, oh, we need these things for this spell or whatever, and then they just had to go get the ingredients, and they just had them laying around for some reason.
Nice.
And it was just so dumb, but
yeah, that's what makes it not interesting. Like I want to feel like there's stakes,
like, you know? Saga, they'd be missing something and they'd have to go get it and almost die
for like
almost
a whole
going
ass
to go
arc.
Get it. Yeah, yeah.
For and
like
most people do die on there,
and you forget why they're going to the planet or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they save the day, but like three people die or whatever.
Yeah. So there are stakes there.
Right.
So I think that this does a good job of demonstrating that. And then up until the end, it's just like, but we'll get to it. But
I think this was kind of something that just cut off at issue 5.
It feels like this should have been a 6-issue trade because it ended like right at the third act.
Well, Jason Aaron's like really good at, I think he's more accustomed to the long form stuff.
He for sure is, yeah.
So I think that's kind of what he was doing here. Mm-hmm. So
I don't think that it was his fault that this trade ended where it did, because nothing really got resolved at the end of this trade.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was just kind of like a chapter of it.
It seems like he wanted to do with Doctor Strange what he kind of did with Thor.
Yeah.
There's a lot that mimics that, because in the beginning of Thor, all the gods are dying. And then in this, it's like, oh my God, all the sorcerers supreme are dying. And like magic's dying, and I was like, shit, what's going on?
That also like kind of plays into the comic book trope of like, oh, my powers are gone, what do I do kind of thing. That's just like, oh, the magic's gone, you know?
Yeah, but not all of it is gone. He just like doesn't have all the spells that fix everything.
Yeah, only some of it's gone.
Okay. Yeah, so but I think he defines things pretty well, and I like what he did with Doctor Strange. So I think in general I liked him more than you, but let's get into it, Daniel.
First page, then we get some throwback panels.
I love the throwback page.
This is so sick.
This is a strong start. Like, it's just old school, like, Doctor Strange panels that they've, like, taken and kind of pasted in, like, a collage to kind of just go into, like, a background of Doctor Strange, if you don't know about him, where he is, like, a kick-ass surgeon, and then he is in a car accident, and his hands are fucked up, and then he goes and he becomes Sorcerer Supreme. We all kind of know that, I feel like.
You saw the movie.
Yeah, you saw the movie. It's the movie. If you didn't see the movie, read this first page, and then you're caught up.
Speaking of movies, it feels like every like comic creator is just now seeing the Batman for some reason on Twitter. They're like, "Oh, I loved it." I'm like, "What do you mean you've worked on Batman? Like, why haven't you seen? Why didn't you see this before everybody else?"
I feel like you should be obligated to go see it.
Yeah,
yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I guess some people are just waiting to see it on HBO Max. So
maybe, or
because it just came out like last week on HBO Max, I think.
Right.
So.
I don't know. It was just very jarring for me.
So it opens with Doctor Strange doing some house call work as a doctor, and he saves a kid from some soul eaters that apparently infected his mind. And after he resolves that, he meets the magical boys at the magical bar that only magicians can go to.
Yeah, dude.
Which I think is a really fun idea.
Does Doctor Strange like canonically wear boots?
Is he wearing boots?
Yeah. This is like the first thing I noticed on this page.
On the first page?
Yeah, not the throwback page, but the next one. It's like a double page spread, I think.
Oh, you know, I wasn't really paying attention to his shoes. I don't know what his drip normally is.
I feel like he'd wear like some dress shoes or something.
I feel like the design of Doctor Strange in general is kind of different. At least the cape. Like, the cape has some like additional accent coloring like around the outside of the cape, which I think makes it look pretty cool.
Yeah. Anyway, just stupid tangent.
No, I don't think he has boots, like combat boots, like it looks like he has here.
Yeah. He's about to curb stomp somebody.
Yeah. But Doctor Strange meets the magical boys at the magical bar. because he coordinates the Magical Boys meeting up, mm-hmm. but he's always late to it because he's always like doing shit. He's doing like this pro bono work or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But it's very, what I like just off the get-go is that it's very clear that B'Challo has like all the room in the world to design anything for this book, which I think works in its favor, because like when he's doing that job for the little, for like little kid that was infested with Soul Eaters, there's just like insanity on the page.
Yeah.
Like you don't, I can't even like really describe the Soul Eaters to you because it's very clear that Chris B'Challo was just like, I'm going to do whatever, you know? And yeah. There's a bunch of super cool like double page spreads and stuff, or like there's like a teddy bear on this and like the coloring of it is just like a print of like actual like teddy bear like fur or yeah. fuzz, and I think that was really cool looking. Like it worked super well.
Definitely.
So I like that Chris B'Challo went all out with the art and also the coloring. I think it's really cool. But there's also a really cool use of color for like context in this book. Because when Doctor Strange is like leaving the little kid's house and he's going to walk to the bar, he's like on the astral plane, or he's like looking at the astral plane. So everything in like New York is black and white, and the astral plane with all the magical stuff and the magical bacteria or whatever he called it is colored. And so it's just like this whole other like plane of existence that Doctor Strange sees that not everybody in like the normal world sees. And I think it looks really cool presented here like that.
Yeah, it's really good to have that contrast between the two to like kind of know what you're looking at.
Yeah.
You know, because it might be, if it was like fully colored and not colored a certain way, you might not know he's in the astral plane.
Yeah, it would also be way too much for my eyes to like focus on. So it's really cool that the interdimensional creatures are colored while everything that's supposed to be normal is black and white. Love that shit a lot. Yeah. But it's kind of freaky to know that like even just as we're talking, there could be one of these weird starfish things on our faces.
Yeah.
Just like harnessing whatever they do, even though they don't like hurt us. I think that's a really fun idea.
Definitely.
Also, I like the bar because you just like, it's like Harry Potter. You just like walk into like a brick wall. And if you're a magician, then you're in, you know?
Yeah.
It's called the bar with no doors. Love that shit. So after some talk about some weird shit that's been happening lately with the people at the bar, they're like, I don't know. Just like, we'll figure it out, I guess.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange goes back to the sanctum and he meets Zelma Stanton, who has come for help because a strange creature is growing on top of her head. So when Doctor Strange checks it out, more of that creature explodes out of her head when Doctor Strange tries to mess with it.
This shit is so gross.
It's so gross.
Because, like, the body horror aspect of this, like, really got to me.
Really?
Because, like, I've had, like, psoriasis on like my head before, and it's really fucking gross because it's really flaky, and it just made me think of that. Like, this... And the part of her hair is like it's teeth like, and eyes.
Yeah.
And that's so fucking gross.
It's so cool, though.
Like scalp shit.
It's cool because she like enters the sanctum with like this hat on her head. And then he's like, show me. And he's like, it's kind of gross. And he's like, show me. And then
she's like, I've probably seen it.
And it's just like this fucking weird ass monster with eyes and shit like coming out of her head. It's so
she went to the
so
doctor before this. And then people were just throwing shit at her. Cause like, yeah. Because, like, nurses freak the fuck out.
Yeah, they would. I think they do a really good job of balancing, like, all the weird stuff that Strange does with also the perspective of, like, a normal person like Zelma.
Yeah.
I like, enjoy both of those perspectives because when we first meet Zelma, she's, like, in front of the sanctum door. And she's like, do I even knock on this door? There's not even, like, handles, you know? How do they get in? Mm. And then when Dr. Strange invites her in, he's just, like, floating. And then he's, like, upside down at some point, and you see all, like, the floating books and shit.
Yeah, he's like, are you coming in, like, upside down?
Yeah. So I think that part's pretty fun. So that was pretty much that issue, but there's, like, a backup story that shows a magician of the 13th dimension trying to warn other magicians of a group called the Empirical.
Do you think this is that other...
That's Kevin Nolan, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Which, the Empirical is a group of black magic people killing other magicians. So we just know that interdimensionally, there's these people killing other dimensions or other magicians.
So black magic people, is it just people using black magic, you're saying?
No, black people.
They're black.
They're black magic people. And they're bad guys. No, black magic users / enjoyers killing non-black magic people.
Wait, the enjoyers are black?
Yes.
Okay.
Black people enjoyers. No, people that use black magic. That's what we're talking about. Black magic is bad, okay?
I didn't even think about it as black magic, but you said it, and I'm like, I gotta put him in a corner.
And they say it's black magic.
It's funny.
Masters of Black Magic. That's what they are. We don't like them. No black magic here.
No, they look like something out of like a, I don't know, like a fucking Descender or something.
Yeah. What do you mean, the Empirical?
Yeah.
With like the,
like
the robot design things. Yeah. Yeah, they look pretty cool, to be honest.
Yeah, they're pretty neat designs. I don't love like the, these like,
I don't like the wolves.
The wolves thing. It's like the, with this,
like, I don't know why they're wolves. Exoskeleton
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a little strange. But what I do like is when this...
It's a little Doctor Strange.
When this, like, 13th dimension Sorcerer Supreme tries to, like, send the message out, he does it in, like, butterfly messengers.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty
fun.
Would
you like to get a little text message in a butterfly?
Yeah, via butterfly? That's sick.
Have it, like,
but unfortunately, all the butterflies burned down. So it's like, this doesn't seem like... Maybe, like, a magical cell phone would be better, you know? You can't unsend a text message that way. You can't burn down the text message, can you?
Sometimes.
But anyway.
The cover for number two is really cool because it's like a fridge that's open.
Yeah.
And it's got like all the creators' names on it and like magnets.
I love that shit.
Like, people should work in like the creators' names into the artwork more.
I think that's cool,
rather than just like putting it on top of it.
Yeah. Also, the number of the issue is on the fridge as well because it says two.
Oh, very good.
I'm sure it says two at the bottom of this, but I don't know if it said two on like the single issue.
Yeah.
On the floppy. So, yeah, issue two, the creatures jump off of Zelma's head and then they just start running around the Sanctum Sanctorum. So Doctor Strange and Zelma go to get them, basically. And so they kind of like walk around the Sanctum Sanctorum a little bit. And I like this characterization of the Sanctum, because in the movies it's just kind of like this mansion with like one main room, it kind of feels like, with like the stairs and shit. But in here they're like walking all around, and like there's a six splat, like double page spread of the Sanctum, and they're like walking through it in like multiple spots on one splash page, which I always love. And I like how there's talking snakes.
Yeah, he's just like, hey, girl, what's up?
I love that shit. He was like, do not talk to the snakes. And then the snake's like, hey, girl, what's up? Like, that, like, made me laugh out loud.
Me
for some
too.
Reason.
I wrote it down. I'm like, this is the funniest part of this book.
Look, hey, girl, what's up? Like, what's the hurry?
Out of all of the creepy shit that, like, a magical snake in the Sanctum Sanctorum would say,
it's just cat
that
calling.
Is not what I think.
It's just cat calling Zelma. It's so funny.
I'm like, was it a human at one point?
Who knows? It doesn't matter. Just keep going. So they find these creatures kind of in like the library and like in the kitchen. So Zelma gets split up from Doctor Strange and she finds Wong. So we see Wong for the first time in the story.
That was cool.
Yeah, he's cool.
Is he normally in Doctor Strange books? I thought he was something like added for the movies.
No, I think he's normally there.
Okay. I think this one came out like...
This came out definitely after the Doctor Strange movie. But
I
Wong,
think it came out before. Because wasn't this like 2014?
Yeah. But I mean,
what
like
the movie.
The movie's like 2018.
Yeah, no. So this came out before the movie.
No, I'm sorry.
It was like 2015, I think.
Probably 2015-ish. I don't know.
Anyway.
But anyway, yeah, so Wong's there. He's kind of like characterized the same as the movies where he's like helping out, but he basically runs the whole place.
Mm-hmm.
And then Strange finds out that those creatures are called mind maggots. And so they manage to round them up when Zelma spills like her deepest secrets. And then Strange uses magic to, like, absorb all of them into him, which is pretty cool because after he does that, like, there's just a bunch of mouths and shit all over his skin. So he solves the problem, but they're, like, all a part of him. But he's like, whatever, I'll deal with this later.
It just creates another problem.
Yeah. But he's like, well, at least Zelma's fine, you know?
And this book started coming out in 2015. The movie came out in 2016.
Really?
But, you know, the production probably, like, was before that.
Probably,
so,
yeah.
Anyway.
Daniel, there's a weird hand. We love a weird hand in this book. Right? Do you know what weird hand I'm talking about?
Is it?
It's on page 37. Looks like this.
No.
Not the best hand.
What is that?
It's panel 3 on page 37.
I'm surprised you like found that. Normally I'm pointing shit out like that.
I was like, what the fuck was that? Like, I was so confused. But Charles is great. I just want to clarify. But the hands looks a little funky here.
It looks like an octopus when they're like spread out.
Yeah,
you know?
It does. That's what it looks like. So after Dr. Strange fixes Zelma's problem, Strange offers Zelma the job of sorting his magical library books. And then we get another hint of the Empirical taking down a magician that was trying to warn Dr. Strange. So we know that these people are coming. But
dude,
that's basically
like,
this issue.
I feel like he like hid that in there. Like there's no way you're like, Yeah, that looks good. You know what I mean? Like Bocello with that hand.
Yeah.
That he just like drew it that way. He's like, good hand.
Hey, deadlines are a bitch, man.
No, dude.
So I don't know.
Maybe.
What I like about these like mind maggot things is that she has to like tell juicy like secrets so that the mind maggots are like, oh, this is juicy stuff over here.
And they start going towards them.
Yeah. And then someone's like, I think my sister's baby's ugly.
Yeah. I mean, like, I thought there was going to be something like really juicy in there, but it was just kind of like,
it's kind of like funny tea. Stuff. Yeah. It would have. This isn't like the kind of book that would have like, I killed my uncle or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just like, I can't tell my mom I'm a vegetarian, you know? Mm-hmm. Or she's like, I cheated on my driver's exam. I still have no idea what to do at a four-way stop.
Dude, same.
Yeah. Even if he did pass.
No one really actually knows. Yeah.
We just kind of figure it out. Also, Dr. Strange's kind of smooth with it though.
Oh, dude, wait, hold on. She says that she hates dogs.
Yeah, that's kind of a juicy secret.
I'm like, we don't like her.
Yeah, we don't like her. No. Not a good character, not honestly.
Subjectively, bad character.
Yeah.
I mean, people who read books, they have cats, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're weird cat. I mean, we read books, but we read cool books, so we like...
Yeah, so we like cool animals.
Cool animals, like
cool,
dogs.
Cool pets. Yeah. Like puppers.
Did you like how Dr. Strange was kind of smooth with it? And she's like, he's like, do you want to come rearrange my books? And then she was like, is that a euphemism? And he's like, no, I like, my shit's all over the place.
I should ask Sarah if she wants to organize my comics, because like I just put them like next to the short box that they're supposed to go into.
Yeah.
But I like never put them away. It's so exhausting.
Strange is like, would you like to come sort my books sometimes? And it's like, is that supposed to be sexual? Because it looks sexual.
She's a librarian, so you know,
you can come sort my books.
Yeah, anytime you want.
Which doesn't make sense. How do you rate Doctor Strange's facial hair, Daniel?
I need to find a good picture of it.
It's not a traditional goatee. Here, I'll give you a picture right here.
Yeah, what's the reference photo here? So it's like a...
It's like a mustache with a little soul patchy thing. A
little flavor saver and a stash.
Yeah, long mustache.
I think I prefer the goatee, but it works. I don't think the flavor saver is ever justified. So...
What's the flavor saver?
That.
The like...
The little bit that's under your lip?
Yeah, it does... It is good for saving the
thing
flavor.
That neither of us can grow out, really.
I can. I just, like, bite them.
You wouldn't be able to, like, just have that, you know?
I could.
Like.
I'll do it.
It's not as thick as, like, your beard or your mustache or anything, you know?
It could be if I really wanted to.
Sure. What, you shave that specifically or something?
Yeah, I, like, trim it down.
Huh. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, because, like, if that gets, like, long, you look like a... Like a billy goat, you know? Not like you specifically, but
he's got the billy goat.
Yeah.
He's got that going.
No disrespect to any fans that have the soul patch.
Yeah.
Or whatever, but...
I think it's good. I think they were trying... It seems like with this design, they were going with like a younger looking Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Doesn't have like gray temples or anything.
I don't know if you've ever drawn a goatee on anybody, but it really takes like a lot out of the face. Like,
yeah.
Because when you have it like going around the chin... It can make like the jawline look kind of weird.
Mm.
So if it's like a design aspect to kind of make him look younger, like you're saying, then I get it.
Yeah.
Because I've drawn like dad before, you know, and the goatee thing like makes it look very weird. Because you draw the face first, then the goatee.
Right.
Maybe it should be the other way around. But anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
Issue 3.
I think it's good. But yeah, issue 3. So Doctor Strange is running around naked in the astral plane and he's taking down these slugs that eat magical life. And they're typically found in another dimension.
A lot of rainbows in this book.
Lots of rainbows, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like the astral plane. It's just black and white, and then there's just a rainbow in the background of everything.
And Doctor Strange is like running around naked, and he's like, why am I here again? I do like that they mention that dogs kind of like, when they bark at nothing, they're like barking at something in the astral plane.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that explanation. And so the slugs are infesting the Sanctorum, because obviously there's a lot of magic there, and they eat magic. So Doctor Strange throws out a spell that gives them enough magic to give them a food coma, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a sweet analogy in here that Aaron uses, and he compares like a magician to like an electrician. And I really like that concept. And he says that like all he really does is just channel the magical energy that's like already around him instead of like creating it.
So Doctor Strange is a Jedi, is what you're saying.
He's kind of like a Jedi.
And the magic is the Force.
Well, like the Force is like in all of us, right? That's like the idea.
Like the magic. Only some people can access
it. Like, yeah, I guess so. I guess it is kind of like that.
Yeah, that could be like a sweet like clickbait subtitle and be like, Doctor Strange is a Jedi.
Doctor Strange can use the Force?
Yeah. And then he just like Photoshop a lightsaber in his hands.
It's just him doing magic things with his hands, but just edit out the magic things.
Exactly.
So it turns out that the place that the slugs are normally from and normally have plenty of magic to eat, which is named Phandazar Fu, is now void of all magic. And when Doctor Strange visits it, he finds other sorcerers supreme of other dimensions were executed. So he's like, this is weird.
Real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is like he was naked for the beginning part of this issue.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, everything was like strategically done to where like his dick is like blacked out.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the one panel that just has like a black bar over his ass?
Yeah, like, I do like
just
that a
censoring
lot.
Censoring
it. But Charles like, I can't do anything here,
he's
man.
He's like, ah.
Because they do really well because there's one where it's like the caption box is like over his dick and I like that a lot.
Yeah,
I
think that works. They do a lot of that.
Or there's somewhere like there's just big flowers over his dick or like the axe that he finds inside the slug that he found in the center of the moon. You know, he's just holding it in a way so that it covers his dick.
Yeah.
But then at the end, like, he's just butt-ass naked.
He's just B'Challa, like, I don't know.
And I don't and blame
like,
him.
Does anyone... And then, like, the color, she's like, did you mean to do that? He's like, yeah, I just don't say anything.
Yeah.
Hopefully the editor just,
it's not,
like
the
brushes...
main focus, but, like, you see it. Everybody sees it.
He didn't even, like, try to make it seem like that was, like, on purpose or what's in the panel or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just pretty like, blatant.
You're just like, I don't know, or maybe editorial did that, like there were some cheeks there.
Yeah,
but they're just like, let's just put this over here.
I assume that might have actually been the case because normally cheeks are fine, I think, for the most part.
I can't recall cheeks specifically, like full cheeks.
Yeah, I guess I haven't seen any cheeks in a Marvel
but
book.
This is like an angle where you could see some gooch, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
But anyway, but yeah, it'd be very small gooch, like that's on like a normal page, that's like like a centimeter, you know?
I like this page where he, like, does the magic trick to, like, give all the slugs magic to eat. And it's, like, colored super cool.
That looked like a picture of, like, just space.
Yeah.
Just, like,
it looked like some crazy, like, color blending, like, Northern Lights kind of shit.
Yeah.
It was really cool looking. Like, I'm glad that he puts in a lot of effort into, like, the coloring because it works really well.
It's not B'Challa who does the colors, does he?
It is. He's doing art and colors.
Dang.
He's just not inking.
Yeah, he does really good. His artwork style gives me like Sanford Green vibes.
Yeah.
Especially with the coloring on that.
It's pretty stylized.
It's got
like
a
that.
Couple, it's got like some Bitterroot kind of colors in there too.
Yeah. Also, I like when he goes into the Phandazar Fu, which is a funny name, but the magic place where like the Sorcerers Supreme meet. Also, I hate that the plural of Sorcerer Supreme is Sorcerers Supreme.
Not Sorcerer Supremes?
Yeah, I would think it's Sorcerer Supremes. Like,
I feel like there should be a pizza place somewhere that's like Marvel themed and just the Supreme Pizza is just the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah, but if you want more than one, you have to call it Sorcerer's Supreme.
There's nothing magical about it. It's just the Supreme Pizza.
Yeah, that's all it is. The most magical Supreme Pizza on this plane.
Oh, dude, there's this weird ass, you know, Brandon who came on the pod for our Venom episode.
Yep, yep.
He's going to come over next weekend for Sarah's birthday. And she was trying to get like a poll on what people wanted to eat. And she was like, do people want Chinese food or Indian food or pizza? And then he's like, counter offer, what about Indian pizza?
What?
And apparently there's a place called Pizza Twist in Chandler where you can get like a lamb kebab pizza.
Whoa.
And they have like all kinds of weird shit.
That's crazy.
Like,
it must be good if he's offering it.
Halal pizza.
Ooh.
Let's see here. Okay, that's all the weird ones. But
it must be good if he likes it and is confident in it enough to offer it for somebody else's birthday.
He seems like... That's true. He seems like someone that would be like more into the idea than the execution, I guess.
That's fair.
But look at these like pictures. That doesn't look like a good picture, you know, of like a pizza. I don't know what's wrong with this website. Never mind. Moving on.
Moving on.
I just wanted to bring that up.
Anyway, I like the coloring of the Phandazar Fu place because...
It's snowy.
It's not snowy. Well, I guess it is snowy, huh?
Or ashy, whatever.
It's like void of magic because normally it's super colorful and you see the slugs running around. But now that it's void of magic, it's like... It's not completely like gray tone, but it's pretty close. It's like a Zack Snyder movie in there. So that's pretty cool.
Sorry, I'm just going through my notes and something earlier.
Yep.
Some cringy dialogue that I noticed.
Okay.
When Doctor Strange finds that axe, he starts beating up things.
The slimes.
He says...
The slugs.
He says, "Soup's on, suckheads." And that was real dialogue that Doctor Strange said.
Really?
And I was like, come on. You know what I mean?
That's pretty funny.
But that's just my opinion. And then there's this other bit where he had to like use his heart as like a bomb to blow up things. That's what made that like he's naked. And then he just puts like his hand down his throat and it's like elbow deep. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
And then he just pulls out his heart or something and then just like throws it.
Yeah, he throws it. And then at like the slugs that they eat or whatever, or they get thrown off of the people.
Yeah, I was just like, hey, that's gross.
That was kind of cool.
Can you get your heart through your throat? Like,
if you really try, yeah.
I think you got to rip through your esophagus or something.
Yeah, you got to rip through some stuff, but you can do it. So at the end, we see the cult. We cut to the Imperial's leader named the Imperator, and they basically just like have their sights set on Doctor Strange to rid his world of evil and bring death to magic. That's what they said.
Yeah, dude, he's got like a magic whale or something.
Yeah, I don't know what the whale here is. There's a big whale.
I thought it was supposed to send a message.
And then he kills the whale. So I don't know why the whale's there, but he's got like killing a big whale.
It's a cool looking whale.
Yeah, and the scene's like black and white, which is kind of cool, except for like his powers and like the blood, of course.
He's got like green Superman blasts.
Yeah, he's got green eye blasts, and then the whale has red blood. So anyway...
So when he goes to that like magic place, there's a Sorcerer Supreme that he recognizes. And he's like, Magister Miracle? And I'm like, hold on.
That's a pretty cool name.
It is a cool name. But I'm like, is he just copying Mr. Miracle? Let's be honest.
No, I don't think so. I think he was just trying to come up with an alliteration.
He just added two letters to Mr. Miracle. Magister Miracle. I think it's a call to like DC.
It could be.
Which is cool.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah. There was a bit when he was fighting the slugs and there was a cool line. When he threw like the heart or whatever for him to eat, he's like, "Lunch is on me."
I like that.
That's a good one.
And then it exploded.
That was a cool guy line.
Yeah, cool guy line. Issue 4, Daniel. There's an opening scene of Stephen Strange, not yet Sorcerer Supreme, but he's training with the Ancient One.
This Ancient One design is really fucking cool.
Yeah, very cool. Long mustache. Long flavor saver.
Big
unibrow, I think. Or does he have a hood on?
I think that's his hood.
Okay, I think it's his hood.
long unibrow.
And Doctor Strange is learning that every spell comes with a cost, which is a new concept to Doctor Strange that I didn't know about. But in the present... Strange gathers the magicians up in the magic bar to tell them that there's some shit coming. And he doesn't really know what it is yet, but there's some shit coming. Because he had to bury a bunch of Sorcerers Supreme. And so there's tons of new magicians in the Marvel Universe here that I didn't really know about before. Did you look at El Medico Mystico?
Yeah, he looks cool.
He's very cool. This is his first appearance, Daniel. I looked it up. Because I'm like, I want to know who Medico Mystico is.
Yeah.
And he plays more of a role later.
Does he? Oh, I don't remember him.
He's like a magician that protects like Mexico and parts of South America.
I thought you were about to say Mexicans, like all the Mexicans in New York.
And like most of South America, because when I looked it up, or later in this book we see him, but he's in Machu Picchu, which is a part of Peru. So
do you know what he's saying? Did you Google translate it?
No, I didn't. But he says some magic stuff.
Luchara, that means like fight.
Hasta la muerte.
That's like to the death.
Y más allá si es necesario.
And more is necessary. So fight. He'll fight to the death. Even and further if necessary. So I guess like after you're dead.
Oh, okay, cool. That's a sick line then.
Yeah. I think that means.
I like the idea
like,
of him just saying that and nobody knows what he just said.
I think it means, yeah. Everyone's like, okay.
Listen, you can speak to me in some sort of magical language, but I don't know Spanish.
Someone press the SAP button on that, some bitch?
Good joke. Good joke.
I wish there were subtitles in real life. Anyway.
Back at the Sanctorum, there's text in one of his magic books that are that's disappearing.
The book is dead, Nathan.
The book is dying. So Strange goes to the Temple of Watoom, which is where the which is the magic source of that book that has disappearing text, to like go investigate. He thinks it's a clue. And it's there that he discovers a big machine thing that disrupts magic. And so he fights it, and then he warns the other magicians that the threat that he was just talking to them about, he's like, oh, it's already here.
Sarah just ordered a panda.
That's sick. But I like the magic thing that, like, when the magic goes away, like, the text in the book goes away. I think that's pretty fun.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like a funky magic thing that you only see in, like, a Doctor Strange book.
You think it'd be, like, an old user manual where, like, you see it, but, like, it really doesn't help anything?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, you'd think so. Especially with how thick all those books are. There's no book that's, like, 4 pages, you know?
Yeah, nothing that's like, just say this and you're all good.
Yeah, like, do you have to read, like, a whole ass, like, 400-page book to know one spell?
Do you think there's, like, a mystical Google where you can just, like, skip the reading and just, like, get the quick tips?
Maybe that'll be the next Sorcerer Supreme. They upload all the books into a database, and you can just Google it.
They have, like, how-to YouTube videos.
There's, like, an Indian guy.
Yeah, you just gotta, like, move your hands like this and say this like that.
Yeah.
All at once, and you're good to go.
Yeah, no intro, just straight into it, no ads or anything.
This is how you fix a 2011 Chevy Malibu.
Yeah, basically, but for magic.
With magic.
Yeah. Here's how you fix the Eye of Agamotto.
Yeah.
All you got to do is turn it 180 degrees and then do an abracadabra and you're good.
Like and subscribe for part 2.
Yeah. And he's got like 1,000 videos like that.
Yeah.
I really like that idea. That'll be the next Sorcerer Supreme. Oh my God. The magic YouTube guy.
Can you imagine trying to fucking pitch that? All right. So it's a new era for fucking Sorcerer Supreme. There's so many magicians out there and they all need help.
Digitize the books, okay?
The ancient one, he's now on YouTube and anyone can be magic.
Yeah. You know. That'd be sick.
We need all the help we can get.
I like when he goes to the Temple of Watoom and he has to like go into this like water world kind of thing, and he like rides a stingray or whatever.
Yeah, dude.
No, he rides his cape, but it looks like a stingray.
More cringy dialogue right here. What's your name is like, talk about your ocean front views.
I thought that was pretty good.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's right in front of you.
No.
Ocean. I mean, it's not like the front of the ocean.
Anyone who says talk about and then says a thing, listen, I immediately don't like them.
Neither of these characters are supposed to be funny. So
it's not even like a joke. It's just a thing.
Just a thing that they say.
It makes me mad.
I think that's a joke. But you know what? That's valid. I'm not saying that you're wrong for thinking that that's not good dialogue. I just didn't notice it. So.
It just makes me upset. Anyway, moving on.
But I do like how it looks when he goes into the water area to find the temple.
Yeah, it's like it looks great.
It's again like another picture that he's just kind of like posted and then drawn over. And I like that aesthetic a lot.
And then right after that, Wong leaves. He sees them leave and then he leaves and he goes into like the Arctic door. Yeah, goes to the Himalayas.
And he's like, sorry, I never told you the truth.
Yeah.
There's some Wong tea.
Talking about Dr. Strange, yeah.
Yeah, Wong tea, which we'll get into next issue, which is issue 5.
Wong did something wrong.
Issue 5.
Sorry.
There's a flashback of Strange feeling the aftermath of doing some Atlantean black magic to defeat Dormammu. And so, like, he started, like, bleeding out of his eyes and shit, right? And so now, Doctor Strange thinks that, like, he was told about how there's a cost to each spell, but Doctor Strange seems to think that the balance is when he just only eats weird magical food. And, like, that's how he thinks he's, like, balancing the scale. Because before, when he would do magic, it would just, like, harm him physically.
And he'd, like, throw up and stuff.
He would, like, throw up, yeah, and he would feel awful for, like, weeks or whatever. And now he's like, oh, I just eat this magic food and it's all good. But in reality, Wong has secretly been using this group of monks called the Secret Disciples of Strange, which are monks that just take the brunt of balancing the scale for Doctor Strange whenever he uses spells.
Yeah, they look gross.
Yeah, so whenever Doctor Strange uses a spell, the balancing act really goes to this random group of monks that he doesn't even know about, and they start throwing up for weeks.
Mm-hmm,
but Wong needs more of these monks if Doctor Strange is going to try and stop these magical machines.
He's treating them like a bunch of batteries, Nathan.
Yeah, basically, That's what they are. And while they're there, those magic eating machines or magic stopping machines ambush them there as well. So that's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. But I do like this idea that Wong is like doing low key shit that like not even Doctor Strange knows about. It's like
he's got his own shit.
It adds like an element to his character because he wants him to like, I don't know, keep being the Sorcerer Supreme, but he like, recognizes the cost that comes with it.
Yeah, he like saves the world like a billion times a day.
Yeah.
And like that's going to take a toll on him because he's using magic.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is really the only way he can like keep doing that.
Yeah.
So
Daniel, we see
probably dead.
Doctor Strange, when he called all the magic people, we see another El Medico Mystico. And he's here protecting Machu Picchu, which is pretty cool, which is in Peru.
Oh, okay.
So he's like a magic guy for most of South America.
Oh.
I like that.
Did you tell Sophia about that?
I did not, but she's been to Machu Picchu.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Did she meet
El Medico Mystico?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he was a thing.
I think that means like mystic doctor or something.
That's cool. Dr. Mystic?
Another doctor.
I'll ask her. So part of the Empirical are like these wolves that attack Doctor Strange in the temple. And Doctor Strange like barely has any magic to fight them off. But he's got the good old Eye of Agamotto that seems to always work. And then Strange gets desperate. And then he uses Atlantean black magic again to just take down all the machines that were all over the earth.
Yeah, like everywhere.
And everything's good again, except he bleeds from his eyes a little bit. Which,
like, he was kind of put in a corner, nothing was working, and so he just like, uses the black magic, and then
it hurts him.
It's all good now.
It hurts him, it hurts the disciples of Strange, and everything's all good, but then the fight isn't over, because there's one more big machine thing, and then the Imperator, which is the main bad guy, it seems like, confronts Strange, and then that's the end of the trade. So it's like,
yeah,
he kind of, like, solved the main thing, but it seemed like what he solved didn't actually solve everything, and so it's just like, it doesn't end the trade very well.
He stopped like the foot soldiers kind of thing,
yeah.
Like the dogs.
Yeah.
And now there's like the main ones, and this dude's like, bring the Sorcerer Supreme to me, and then purge all the sinners or whatever.
Yeah.
This guy's not very like scary.
He's not. Yeah, he's not.
I like his design, but I think I like his like upper half the more.
Yeah,
like
true.
His eyes are cool. Like his head's cool and his shoulders are cool.
Like the eye makeup.
Looks like
the face makeup.
Yeah, it's probably just like a design because he probably is like a robot or something.
Yeah,
or it could be the designer of all these robots.
I don't know. Not gonna read the second trade probably, but I like the bleeding eyes effect and how it's like bleeding black from his eyes.
Yeah, that's gross.
That's really cool.
I don't like that. It's very icky.
Yeah, but that's the trade, Daniel. So let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back matters.
You know, it wouldn't be a Marvel series without a Scotty Young cover.
No, it wouldn't.
In fact, we get two Scotty Young covers.
I know. You get like a baby variant.
One's the baby one, which he's forced to do until he dies, probably.
There was like two this week that I saw.
I know. And it's like, this is what he's known for. I hope he's okay with that, but that's just like what he's known for. But he's a really great artist otherwise.
I think he's okay with the money.
Yeah, you know? That's true. And getting like the easy cover work.
Oh, this is the one that had the hip-hop variant.
Yeah. Yep, this is back in the hip-hop days, which they totally do. Do like rock covers and shit.
That'd be sick.
Imagine Nathan, like a Master of Puppets Marvel thing.
And then pop quiz, what is this album in reference to?
Notorious B.I.G.?
The answer is in the cover.
Strange. The Mystic.
Okay, so the Mystic is like just what they're calling the album. But like, no, but not in the Strange. It says Doctor on there.
Oh, Dr. Dre?
Yeah, it's a Dr. Dre album.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that so fucking cool?
Damn, that's cool.
Instead of the Mystic, it's called the Chronic.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and it's just a picture of him in there.
Damn, that's sick.
Isn't that so fucking cool?
Yeah.
That's easily one of the best ones.
Yeah, that's great. He looks mean, too.
Yeah, he's definitely
he's probably got
mugging.
The same face as Dr. Dre in that cover, but I like that a lot. Got a Kevin Nolan variant. We get one of those weird covers that I don't like that are the action figure variants.
Love them.
I don't like them, but, you know, if you like them, more power to you. We also get
Alex Ross variant.
Yep, an Alex Ross variant, which is cool. I've seen that one before. He posts, like, his covers on Twitter and Instagram all the time.
I swear he just, like, does paintings of, like, characters, and then Marvel uses them as, like, variants, you know? And then sometimes
he does it for
around.
Covers. Like, I think a lot of the Spider-Man covers that he was doing for Dan Slott's run.
There's a lot of, yeah, yeah.
Those were a part of it, too. Or yeah, like,
those are cool.
He did some Avengers as well. But
yeah, tons of Avengers stuff.
Tim Sale, which is interesting.
Yeah.
That's a cool one.
Looks good. Looks good.
We got a Deadpool variant, because Deadpool is probably coming out with stuff by then.
Dude, fucking Michael Cho.
Michael Cho.
I love him so much.
He's so good. He's got such a great sense of style. And, like, that's a great-ass cover, too. He's, like, conjuring some magic, but
is Michael Cho even, like, on books? Like, interiors?
Yeah, every once in a while.
I don't think I've ever, like, seen anything. You know what I mean?
No, he's definitely been doing a lot of covers now, but...
Yeah.
Then we got a sketchbook. We love sketchbooks, especially from Chris Bachalo.
Sketchbooks and variants, Nathan? Yeah,
there's a sketch of Doctor Strange wearing a Spider-Man t-shirt. Love that. Or it seems like early concepts of the Empirical, perhaps. Or maybe just whatever, yeah. Doctor Strange wearing a weird hat. But yeah, he like is really, really cool with drawing Doctor Strange. There's one of him, of Doctor Strange holding like a bow and arrow. And I think that comes into play in the second trade, because I know that I think that's when all magic gets like stripped away. So there's like that aspect of his character too.
Apparently Michael Cho is on Captain America with Ta-Nehisi Coates for a bit.
Interesting. I don't think he was the main artist.
Okay. He does a lot of like creator owned stuff.
Mm-hmm. Then we get some Empirical from Chris Bachalo, but what I like most in this sketchbook is all the weird magic designs he just has in like black and white, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, all this shit in there.
Yeah.
Love that. And then some Zelma. And that's pretty much it. That's Back Matter Matters.
Very satisfying Back Matter.
Yeah, I like it. It has everything that I kind of expect, which is the variants.
They got the bare minimum.
Yeah, bare minimum for me at least. So good shit, good shit. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
I'd say it's like a, like it, Nathan. I like it with like some fun stuff in there.
Okay.
Like some M&Ms. I think the art was carrying it for me, but just as far as like what I was hoping for, and you know, I think I complained about all the things that I wanted, but I think like if I hadn't read this book and I just sat here flipping through it with you, would have been like more enjoyable than reading it, you know? Like your description of it, I would have liked.
Okay.
Is just as satisfying as like reading the whole thing.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, a lot of the fun part of it isn't necessarily like the story that happened, but I like the world building parts of it from both Bachalo's art and just some of Jason Aaron's like ideas.
Yeah, what some Doctor Strange is. There's some good stuff in there, good concepts.
Yeah, I like the concepts more, I think, than the story. So that's what like mainly makes it fun for me. So I guess for me, it would be, I love it, but a plain, like maybe just like a signature love it, you know? You know, maybe
I feel just, like a signature love it's like a good love it. Like, okay,
maybe just like a basic love it.
So I feel like a love it is something that you'd like continue reading. You know what I mean?
I don't do that for any of the books even. So it's
I don't even do that for Gotta Habits.
Yeah, I don't do that for Gotta Habits. I've rated many books Gotta Have It and I have not had to have it, you know, Daniel. So it's more relative. But yeah, I think this is like a love it because I do like it. You know, I think for me at least it was worth the read. It's fun. It's fun for me. It's a good, I think, starter Doctor Strange book for somebody that's never read Doctor Strange. So I do love it. I'll just leave it at a love it. I don't want any more context.
Okay.
So with that, we'll get into the poll list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
Yes, sir.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
I had so much in my box this week.
And I thought I was going in there just to get Saga.
Yeah. What did you get then, Daniel?
Saga. And then I also got the Dark Knights of Steel 5 and 6.
They didn't have 4 there?
They did not have 4. And I asked you if I could borrow your 4, and you don't have it either.
I don't have 4, 5, or 6. So when you get 4, can I borrow your 4, 5, and 6?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
I got New Bern, number 6.
Yes.
Some new Bern. We love it.
New Bern.
Got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin, number 5, which is the last issue of that run.
I thought they were only doing 3.
No, it's 5. That's, I think, cool. I haven't read 4, but now I can just knock it out.
I've only read 1. Pretty cool, though.
Oh, my God. Well, none of the issues have been as good as 1, you know?
Yeah.
Just because...
But it still continues the story.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And then I got the new Hulk grand design. It's called Madness.
Cool. Did you read the first one?
Nope.
All right.
But I have a lot of fun with the grand design ones because I'm not going to go back and read all the Hulk. I don't think I'm going to go back and read any Hulk.
No, I wouldn't either.
I read like the first trade of like Al Ewing's and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And then I've been reading the Donnie Cates one and I'm like, this is the best Hulk.
Yeah.
By definition, like I don't think I need to, when this is over, that's it. That's Hulk for me. So the grand design stuff is at least like a little bit like of context and just
fun to like have the history, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of cool. how it was.
Nice.
So
I picked up The Punisher number 2.
Oh, yes.
Number 2 just came out. I feel like the first one came out like months ago.
Last year.
Yeah, it feels like it. I picked up Bloodstained Teeth number 1 from Christian Ward and Patrick Reynolds. Christian Ward's writing it.
Okay.
Patrick Reynolds is doing the main art.
Okay.
But Christian Ward does do some interiors for like number 4 or something. So I'm excited to see that.
Okay.
I did pick up Newbern. I picked up Saga. Berserker number 8 came out.
Yep.
And I picked up Step by Bloody Step number 3.
Ooh.
I'm super pumped for that because that's going to end the series.
There's really just no way to anticipate what's coming out unless you go to the individual publishers, like solicitations or like websites or something to see what comes out.
Yeah, there must be a better way.
But who's got time for that?
I don't.
Fresh Comics.
I just go in and I'm like, I'm supposed to buy this. So yeah. Then I buy it.
Oh, shit. I didn't even look at Fresh Comics like today because to see if I missed anything. I probably did.
I mean, if you went to the shop.
Nope, I didn't.
Okay, cool.
Because sometimes there'll be stuff on the new releases, but you're not like looking for it,
yeah.
So you can miss it. You know what I mean?
True. Yeah, that's true.
Did you read anything?
Yes, I read World's Finest number 2 that came out last week.
How was it?
It was super fun. There's more like fun concepts and stuff going in there.
Mm.
I want you to read it because it is still great. I love...
Yeah, I bought it. No spoilers.
Yeah. I love the Doom Patrol, but there's like a concept in there where I'm like, I've never thought of that happening and being a problem, but I could see how it would be.
I guess it's a problem now. Yeah.
Yeah. So I also read 2 things that came out this week, which was Bloodstained Teeth.
How was that?
It's great, honestly. I was hesitant because it's a book about vampires.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not a big vampire guy.
Oh, that's a cool name for a vampire book, though.
Yeah, Bloodstained Teeth.
Yeah.
That shit's metal.
Yeah.
So great. Great title, great covers.
Band name, call it.
I mean, it's copywritten now.
Ah! There's a band called The Devil Wears Prada, Nathan. You can name your band anything.
Yeah, that's fair. If they did it, anybody can.
Yeah.
I can bite on Christian Ward shit.
Yeah.
But I think that this version of vampires is one that is a good concept to me because I think he just does it really well. Also, the interiors are unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Like, the amount of creativity is, like, a Christian Ward level because the coloring is, like, super fun. Like, it's kind of, it reminds me of, like, a Sean Phillips kind of art style, but with a Christian Ward craziness of coloring. So, it's, like, gritty but super bright coloring and stuff, too. It, like, works really well. So, I like it a lot. But... The general concept is that there are firstborn vampires and then there are Sips, which are vampires that the firstborn vampires, like they turned people into vampires, right? And the people that turn into vampires cannot turn other people into vampires. And so the firstborn vampires are like super rich and shit.
Uh-huh.
And there's a guy named Atticus Sloan who is hired to turn normal people into vampires.
Okay.
But then it turns out that his family finds out about this, and so he has to go and kill all the people that he has since been paid to turn into vampire.
Okay.
Yeah. So I like the idea a lot, and it's pretty fun. So I'm gonna keep with it. It was a strong first issue.
Yeah, I feel like that's a ballsy kind of book to try and put out, you know?
Yeah. And very cool. Very well done.
Nice, nice, nice.
I also read Punisher number 2 because I loved the first one so much, and this one is also great. And going into some dark areas, it seems. Not as much action in the first one, because I think the first issue is like the attention grabber, so there's just going to be hella action.
Yeah.
And then the second part's like, here's what's really going on. So it provided good context there, but I read that as well. But that's it so far. I am really excited to read Step by Bloody Step, because that'll conclude the series.
Mm.
And then I want to catch up on Saga.
You haven't read any of it.
I haven't read any of the new stuff.
This last one, nothing really like happened. There's like a small like action scene, but it was more like dialogue, mm-hmm. just like context and stuff like that. There's like a dude who like has like a German Shepherd like head, and
oh cool,
yeah. I don't know if he's a bad guy. He could very well be a bad guy, but I'm like, oh, he's so cute.
That's awesome. What a great concept.
Yeah, but anyway, did you watch anything, Nathan? I just read Saga, so
I don't think I watched anything new. We're starting the last season of New Girl, which is only 8 episodes, so we're probably gonna finish that pretty soon.
Mm.
That's like the only new thing I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
And I saw the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Ooh.
Did you listen to that Weekly Planet episode where they're talking about it, or?
No, because I do want to see it, but isn't it only like a limited release? So like only certain theaters have it, or?
I think like most theaters have it now.
Okay, that's cool.
I tried checking like Movie Times and like all the Harkins had them and stuff like that. Cool. I think once like the hype was real for it, the hype is like proper for it.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know the general concept, like dimension hopping or whatever, or multiverse.
And this movie's amazing. You need to go see it.
Okay, cool.
Do I have more to say about it? I think because of like how many different aspects that I liked about it, this could be like a top 10 movie for me.
Oh, wow.
That's like how high I rate it.
I am definitely happy that it's popular.
Yeah, it like deserves to be popular.
Yeah.
And then like Jamie Lee Curtis is just in it the whole time.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, why is she still in this? And she just like keeps coming back.
Who's the main actor?
Michelle. Sandra Yeoh.
Oh, Sandra Yeoh?
I think so.
Michelle Yeoh?
I could be wrong.
I think it's San.
You want to bet, Nathan?
No, I don't, because I'm not confident.
Because I've seen the movie. Have you seen the movie?
I've not seen the movie.
I don't think so.
But you're also not confident, so.
Michelle Yeoh, yeah.
Ooh, okay. You're right. I was right.
But yeah, she's great.
Cool.
She was like the mom in Shang-Chi.
Well, yeah, she's been in many other things too, but
yeah.
Cool. Good. Glad that was good.
Definitely go see it.
Anything else that you watched?
Just Moon Knight, Nathan.
Just Moon Knight. I also watched Moon Knight.
Let's get into it. So
fucking wild episode. But a lot of answers, kind of, maybe?
A lot of answers, more questions, perhaps. It's like an episode of Lost.
Yeah. It seemed like they were, like, at the end of the last episode, it's, like, Mark and Spectre, and they're talking to each other, and then they run into the big hippo god, and they're like, oh, my God. And then it seemed like there was more than meets the eye, and then they immediately back up on that, and it's like, oh, it's Mark just being crazy again. Mm-hmm. And then they, like, back up from that again, and then it's like, maybe it's not. And so I really like just the back and forth. But, yeah, the questions that were answered, though, obviously, is that Stephen Grant is just been made up by Mark Spector, which I thought was obvious.
I didn't think it was something that he just like made up in order to like
to cope,
deal with trauma or whatever.
Yeah,
but
well, like it's kind of clear that it's one of them. It's like one of their bodies, you know.
Uh huh.
So I guess that's what I like figured. Like one of these personalities is not real, but I guess I wasn't thinking about it too hard.
I thought they were all real, and that's just, like, kind of how he deals with it.
Yeah, but it was kind of crazy to see, like, how that all came to effect, and, like, seeing Stephen Grant experience that was pretty crazy. Like, he had a brother that he, like, killed by accident.
Yeah.
Oof.
Then, what kind of mom is that?
Yeah. Well, that's I mean, she's pretty broken, too, you know?
Yeah.
But also not a good mom, probably.
Yeah. Apparently that psych ward was in, like, Chicago. I don't know if there's any link to Chicago in like the comics or anything like that, but I guess if it's if they're dead or whatever and they're in the afterlife or the underworld, the Egyptian underworld,
mm-hmm.
called Duat,
yep,
then I guess they're not in Chicago.
Yeah, if the whole series has this far taken place in like London and Egypt, why is he just like in Chicago now?
maybe that's where Mark is from.
Oh, probably, yeah. So I really think that Oscar had some really strong performance in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when he's, like, acting crazy. And, like, you believe he's fucking crazy when he's talking to Dr. Harrow. He's got some great performance in here, too. Like, just trying to, like, calm him down and shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the part that, like, really was a great performance to me is when Stephen Grant is, like, convinced that his mom is still alive. And so Dr. Harrow's like, oh, oh, my mistake. She is alive. Let me just call her real quick.
Yeah.
And then Stephen Grant has that realization. He's like, holy fuck, my mom is dead. You're right.
Yeah.
And he like is just so taken back by it. I think that seems so good.
Yeah, he would just like leave all these messages for her. I'm like,
yeah. And he's like, I talk to her all the time. And
he never calls you back.
Like, yeah. He's really hanging on to that, which was cool. So that, you know, everything's kind of coming together, and I'm really enjoying it.
And you know that Moon Knight is not like the first avatar in the Marvel Universe.
The first avatar of a god?
Yeah.
In the MCU or just in Marvel?
MCU.
Who is?
The Black Panther, Nathan.
Oh, yeah, true.
He's the avatar of a god called Bast.
Neat.
Yeah.
I want them to fight.
Yeah. So there's a whole bit about how their hearts were incompatible on like those scales or whatever.
I was just like, take one off and see what happens.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, maybe just one of them's good and the other isn't.
At first, I was like, oh, they must need Jake Lockley's heart. I still think Jake Lockley is going to come up at some point, but like now at this point, I don't think he is. I think it's just the two of them because they didn't want three. Maybe. Oscar Isaacs running around. Maybe.
Why not? I mean, there's still.
It, I don't care, but
there's still one more episode to throw it in there.
I'm rooting for Jake Lockley.
There's still time.
But like, yeah, I was like, just take one off and see what happens. You know, maybe Mark Spector's heart is balanced, and like the other one's like not real or whatever.
I thought it was funny that Mark Spector is a Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
And
you mean Stephen Grant?
No.
Stephen Grant is the personification of the Tomb Raider guy.
No. That's just like an explorer guy. But no.
Mark Spector. Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess his buddy or whatever wanted to do the Tomb Raid and then also didn't want any witnesses or whatever. And that's when like Layla's dad was killed.
Yep.
He tried to save him. Like he like ran, like drove away with him, but he wasn't able to get away somehow.
Yeah, I don't really know. So everybody was dead because he was trying to get away with them? Is that what it was?
Well, they were going to be killed anyway.
Right.
But they were dead in that like...
So what crashed? Was it a car?
Yeah, that car. So okay. I guess they were all... like a helicopter. I guess they're all in it or something and somehow the dude...
Yeah, we finally...
Who's this mystery guy who just like killed her dad, you know?
He mentions Bushman, his CO, which is a commanding officer, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
His CO Bushman, and Bushman is a villain, is a Moon Knight villain.
Bushman sounds like some name you'd give like your frat bro.
Hey, Bushman.
It's the Bushman.
All right. Yeah, Bushman's like he's like a villain. He's just like a crazy mercenary guy, and he's got paint on his face.
Okay.
He's in Jeff Lemire's run, and he's pretty cool in that. But there's mention of that, so maybe we'll see Bushman. I don't know. It seemed like maybe that won't happen, but. Yeah, we see Mark Spector die in front of like Khonshu, which is when he becomes like the Avatar, which is a pretty cool scene.
Yeah.
And then I really like when Stephen Grant's like figuring like all this backstory out and he like keeps running up the stairs of the house.
I was like, how is Mark not catching up with him?
Yeah, I know. Like, is he super slow? What's going on? But like, I like how he like kept running up the stairs to just like the same room to different memory.
This is a tall ass house.
Like, how many living rooms do they have?
This is one of them fancy houses in Chicago.
Also, I like, it was really fun when they're in the psych ward and then Mark Spector like runs out a door and then they're just on the ship that's like sailing on sand. I was like, this is fun. I just like this.
Yeah, he like didn't believe. I guess that they had to, when you're in the underworld, it's like something recognizable for them.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's a psych ward.
Yeah, I thought that was cool because like, it seems like everybody has a different experience of what that place is when they die.
Yeah.
So for some people it might be Disneyland.
Sure.
And for Mark, it's a psych ward.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Then they're fighting some zombies or whatever.
Some sand people. Steven falls off. Do you think it'll end with it just being Mark Spector?
Probably. Or maybe he gets like a new one for Jake Lockley.
Ooh, potentially. Yeah, it seems like Stephen Grant's pretty dead almost. But this is like also underworld stuff, so maybe not.
Because like, how does... Because it seems like he's been sentenced or whatever.
Yeah.
And he became like the sand thing.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't know if there's coming back from that, but you know, Marvel or whatever.
Yeah, he definitely could come back from that if they really want to. But it seems like that was a good send-off episode, I guess, for Stephen Grant. Because it's just him figuring out that he hasn't been real this whole time.
True.
And he also is there to help Mark Spector connect that it's not Mark's fault that he killed his brother. You know, he was just a kid.
Yeah.
He makes that connection in his head. the scales balance, kind of, or something happened when that realization happens, and then Stephen Grant dies. So it feels like that was a good send off for him.
So do you think this is kind of like the way into introducing him to like the MCU? Like he was kind of twisted, but now he's like pretty much normal.
Probably.
Because like,
I don't really think they're gonna do much of the Moon Knight after this.
I don't think
so
either.
So they will, but not for a while.
Yeah, because it seemed like it'd be an odd dynamic to have both of them on like a team or something.
It'd be weird to just like see Moon Knight next to like Hawkeye.
Yeah,
and he's just like standing there, like not really controlling.
Like fucking Black Widow or whatever.
Yeah. So I wonder if they do become just Mark Spector, is he gonna have all the knowledge of Stephen Grant? Because it's still the same brain, you know. All the knowledge is there.
Probably
it was just compartmentalized.
Not. Maybe. I don't think so.
I think he will, if that's what they go up with. But I'm really interested to see how it ends. So far, I think this is, if it lands well, I think this is the strongest Disney Plus series for me. Even though it's not perfect. If it doesn't stick the landing, I still think WandaVision would be my favorite. But at the pace that it's going, you know, I like what they're doing with it a lot. So I'm enjoying it quite a bit.
I think this is, I don't know, like, there's some things about it that don't make me like wow this is great or whatever. So I think like Loki would still be like at the top for me, maybe a second if they stick the landing. WandaVision wasn't like perfect either, but
I think
that's always kind of been like a second.
I think WandaVision had just like the best concepts in the beginning, and then when they were wrapping it up, it kind of fell apart.
Yeah, it was like the best start of a series ever.
Like, I think the most excitement I had for WandaVision was when Quicksilver showed up, right? But then they just like walk that back, and it's like he's this guy that has a dick joke for a name, you know?
Yeah.
Boner, what is his name? I forget.
Boner or something like that.
And that was kind of disappointing. And then the end battle was just like two people flying in the air, shooting lasers at each other. So it's like, whatever. But yeah. I like the feel of the show a lot. It definitely feels something different for Marvel, you know? So
yeah, that's probably the best part of it.
I'm enjoying it quite a bit. Performances are great as well. So a lot to wrap up though with the last episode, because you gotta do some stuff with Layla, he's gotta come back, he's gotta free Khonshu, he's gotta stop Haro. So interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it ends.
Yeah. Alrighty, Nathan,
I think that's it.
That is the show. It's a mystery what next week is,
because it might fall through.
Yeah
we'll see what happens, but there's gonna be an episode next week.
If the thing falls through, we'll just do Bone.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. so maybe Bone.
So tune in next week for whatever is going to happen.
If you have any suggestions, email us at tradebridgepod@gmail.com.
We'll read them. We still have some suggestions we've got to go through, but we'll get to it.
Those are definitely on the list.
Yeah. And if you want to send us those recommendations, you can email us at tradebridgepod@gmail.com.
Said that already.
You can tweet at us at tradebridgepod.
Our individual Twitters are on there.
Uh-huh. We're on TikTok.
On TikTok.
At Trade Waiters.
The one and only. And have a nice day.
Also, I'm down to fight the comic book club.
Yeah.
So that we're the definitive comic book club podcast.
They have a YouTube channel, so we can see what they look like.
Okay.
All right. I'll look that up.
All right. Cool. All right. Fight us now. Twitter beef. Let's go. Later, y'all.